Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Welcome everybody to the Human Design Podcast with your host, me, Emma Dunwoody. Right here with me on this podcast, you're going to learn everything you need to know to live your fullest potential. We're going to talk about mindset. We're going to talk about profiling. We're going to talk a lot about human behavior. We're also going to look at the beautiful tool that I use called Human Design. Most of all, we're going to talk about how you can absolutely live up to your fullest potential. If you enjoy the podcast, please give me a rating. 5 stars would be nice. Share this podcast with someone that you believe would benefit from it, or even better still, write me a review. And in return, send me a DM and I'll give you a free 30-minute coaching session. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, hey, and welcome to today's podcast, everybody. Today, I'm going to finish off the types in human design. So we're going to look at manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. And I just wanted to touch base on the last one. So if you're coming into this podcast and you haven't listened to the one before, I'll steer you there as well because the manifestors and the generators are on part one. Obviously, you can probably read that, but I just wanted to touch base with you in case you've just randomly come to this. Okay, so today I'm going to share with you, as I said, the next 3 types. First of which is the manifesting generator, or the MG, as you'll probably often hear me talk about them. So the manifesting generator is a combination between the generator and the manifestor. So if you are an MG and you're here listening to this podcast first, as I said, go back to number one because it's also going to be beneficial for you to hear the specifics of the manifestors and the generators being a manifesting generator. Because manifesting generators are a combination of the two. Now they do tend in one direction or the other, depending on what your actual design is like. So what I mean by that is you're more manifestor if you have a direct channel from the sacral to the throat, or you're more generator if your sacral gets to the throat through other either motors or centers. So if you know much about human design, that will make sense. If you don't, then by all means, drop me a message anytime. My socials are all there. I'm always happy to answer questions. So drop me a message. I literally just did that for a couple of people on LinkedIn this week. She wasn't sure if she was more generator or manifestor, and turns out she's more manifestor. So yeah, just drop me a note if that's going to be helpful. So manifesting generators, look, I'm a manifesting generator and this is probably where I really started to see the power so quickly of human design. And that is because I learned straight off the bat that the manifesting generator, it's a non-linear energy. What does that mean? It's the sort of person that goes over there, over here, does a bit of this, does a bit of that, and sort of jumps in and out of a lot of different things. And these people can drive other people crazy. However, for Mangens, it feels really, really natural. And what tends to happen is that when we get distracted and we want to start something new, because of the conditioning that we're used to, we're either told we're a quitter for giving up on one thing, or that we have to stick at something until it's finished. And let me tell you, my manifesting generator friends out there, this is not true for you at all. So one of the stories that I always tell, just to demonstrate how important it is, the manifesting generators are so much more about the journey than the completion of something. And when I went to walk the Camino de Santiago, my 800, well not mine, but the 800 kilometer pilgrimage across Spain, as we finished the pilgrimage or the walk, all my friends were like, right, I'm going to go and get my certificate. I'm going to go and get my certificate. Off I go. And I was like, I was challenged by this because I'm like, you know what? I don't have any affinity with the people in which the church actually gives you the certificate. And I'm not any religion. I massively, as you know, believe in the universe. I believe that we're supported and guided and loved. And if God is what you call that person or that energy, by all means, knock yourself out. I believe in that. But having a certificate from any specific body telling me that, well done me for completing, just did not feel aligned. You know, and my ego, that part of me, or in human design we talk about the not self, it was like, you'll be sorry. But of course I didn't. I didn't get the certificate. And still to this day, what is it, a year and a half on, not for one minute do I care that I did not get that certificate to say that I completed it. And I really feel like this is a really great metaphor for the manifesting generator, because we get in and we get out when we've got what we need. Okay, remember that. You get in, then you get out when you've got what you need. So one of the big things that really makes me an excellent coach, for example, is because I'm fascinated with everything. So what will tend to happen is I will go and learn, I'll do a course on meditation, I'll go and do a course on beliefs, I'll go and do a course on energy, I'll go and do a course on all number of things. And of course I've done my master coach, I've done my NLP, I've done my metadynamics. And this isn't me chasing certificates, this is my curiosity leading the way. So knowing this about my energy type absolutely set me free, knowing that I will also get out of something when I've got what I need from it. One of the really cool things I've heard and read a lot about manifesting generators is that often when they get to middle age, you know, and I'm going to call middle age 50, they look back and go, oh, wow, I didn't jump all over the place at all. I actually, that works with that, goes with this, that over there, fits in here. And they, when you reflect back, every little turn really does make sense. So please, if you are that energy type, please honor that your number one guide is your enthusiasm, okay? So think about yourself. I always talk about the MGs as the Energizer Bunny. So just super excited, and that's the way you're meant to be. And if you're not super excited and you're living in a really linear world, what do I mean by that? I mean, you go to the same job every day and do the same thing every day, and then you come home and you have no energy. Well, that's because you're not aligned. I remember back in my media career, the thought of doing the same thing every day actually would make me run screaming from the room. I couldn't do it. I would get bored really easily, which leads me to this next part that I really want to share with the manifesting generators is beware of boredom. Okay. Because in my own personal experience and in my coaching experience, I noticed that boredom triggers some of the most unresourceful behavior in manifesting generators. So for me personally, it actually was the trigger for depression So if you're a manifesting generator, be super aware that once you learn that your energy is all over the place, and I don't mean in a messy way, I mean you want to do more than one thing, you're curious about more than one thing. I do or add to that, try not to do any more than two or three things at once, because then you will get overwhelmed. That's just human nature. And often what will happen is because this overwhelm is actually created because there's a fear of missing out. If I don't do all of it, then I'm going to miss out on something. So don't fall into that trap. Okay, what else can I tell you about the manifesting generator? So if you are more manifester than generator, then you can inform. Instead of initiate, you sort of inform. What does that mean? So one of the big things I do, and I always give my clients to do, is just tell people what you're going to do. Because when you tell people what you're going to do, you'll find people get on board with you. Because the manifesting generator is actually, they can tend on the superhuman side. Some of the famous MGs are people like Tony Robbins, Mother Teresa, who else? Oh, Beyonce. There's a number more that I'll mention at the end. But they're all these people that are like almost superhuman. They have loads of energy. For my LinkedIn peeps, Ruby Lee is a manifesting generator. So people that seem like, wow, how do you have all the energy to do that? Because manifesting generators are on the planet to show the human race what is possible for us, what we can actually achieve in our life. Now, if you have a manifesting generator as a child, well, then you really, I heard someone once on a podcast go, oh, watch out. And as a mother of two of them, they have a load of energy. And it's, you know, it can be focused on art 1 minute, sport the next minute, from this to that to the other. And it's really important to allow them to have the freedom within that. You know, one of the things that we work a lot with our kids is if they start a movie, they have to watch it to the end. If they start, you know, a job, they have to finish it. But we don't pressure them to stay with something. Like my youngest learns guitar, and he will often be like, I don't want to go. And I'm like, cool, if you don't want to go, don't go. But the thing is that he always wants to go because he's choosing to go, and he identifies that he's just tired from school or whatever it is. But it's important that the day he goes, no, I don't want to do it anymore, then we allow him just not to do it. We don't force him to see it through. And as a parent, this has been a real challenge, I'm just going to add, because you know, we need to make sure that we instill in our kids to follow through and to understand that there's consequences. But I will say, we've been doing this with the kids for years, a couple of years now, maybe 3 years, and the difference in our children is huge. And they take responsibility and they finish, they follow through, they understand consequences. So being able to let them have that freedom has been massively beneficial for them and for us, to be honest. Okay, so manifesting generators, one of the really important keys to you and your alignment is you're designed to be the Energizer Bunny. So if you're not feeling like absolutely pumped and amped about life and what you're doing, then it's a really massive telltale sign, okay? Keep in mind that the MGs are here to show people what's possible. And to be honest, the theme I'm seeing with the MGs I work with, and knowing myself, to be honest, so many of them want to lead and live an unconventional life. They want to be different. They want to choose a different path. So if you're a MG, please honor that in you and notice what lights you up. Remember, you are designed to be the Energizer Bunny. The other thing I see a lot is often with MGs is they incorporate more than one thing. I remember Justin, my husband, saying when I first started coaching, he's like, wow, you bring everything together. Like you can bring a model from over here with a methodology over here with some knowledge over there, and you just make it all fit. Classic MG. And I've seen a couple of coaches that do exactly the same thing. So you're designed to have a number of different interests and bring them all together, or just be able to see how they work together. Now, What else do I want to tell you? I want to tell you that if you are more generator than manifestor, then it's you need to be responding to life. Okay, so it's the same thing as the generators. Follow what lights you up. Follow your enthusiasm in this case, and then the opportunities will arise for you. They will show up for you to respond to. But the thing that I want you to be aware of is that being an MG, you do still need to be responding to life. Even if you're more manifestor, you want to inform people, inform where you're going. However, there's still this response. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that an opportunity will arise for you to say yes, you know, hell yes, I'm in, or nah, I'm out. So that's what you're looking for. And in the meantime, you want to be having fun. This is one of the real earmarks of being an MG, fun and playfulness. Now, I know that this has been a massive driver for my work, my 40-something work for me personally, because when I hit my 40s, my early 40s, I was like, wow, I am so not ready to be a boring adult. I really want to play and have fun, and you know, my kids were both at school and they were bigger, and I really wanted to reinvent myself, and this is super, super normal. But even more so for the man gens, play and fun is really big. So if you're not feeling it, like if you're you know, you've been working hard at something that you've been driven to do, you're excited by, you're enthusiastic, and then you lose all your energy, then you've just got to let that thing go. And it mightn't be forever, it might just be for a day. But you need to recharge your energy. And how do you recharge your energy? Through having fun, being playful. I know especially one of the main channels that runs from the sacral to the throat, which is really common, the 3420, this is actually all about fun, having fun. So this is, for me, the more I can put life through a frame of playfulness and joy, the better results I'm getting. And to be honest, from a brain science point of view, when we're learning, if we learn in a fun environment, we retain more knowledge. So anyone out there, you should be having more fun. So last thing I just want to mention with the MGs, and this is the same for the generators, this is really, really important. One of the things about being a generator or an MG, you have these huge big auras, okay, that people are drawn to. But because MGs have so much energy and they say yes to everything because they genuinely know they can handle most things. Like they really are the, I know the brain can't multitask, however the MG can. And what tends to happen is that the MGs say yes to everything, and then as they're actually following through, they lose all of their energy, because it's not stuff that's actually aligned to them. And what's happening is they are literally clogging their aura with a bunch of stuff they don't want to do. So how can the universe, you know, possibly bring them? How could the universe bring them the opportunities they want to be enjoying? They want to be enthusiastic about the things that they know are aligned to them. If there's no more room for any of these things to come in. So as an MG, it's massively important to learn the word no. If it doesn't feel right for you, if it doesn't feel like you're enthusiastic and you want to chase it down, then just say no. Boundaries are massive, because what will tend to happen is you will always attract people that don't have the same capacity, and then you'll do it because you want to do it, and then that will end up being a burden to you. So boundaries are really important. And on that note, I think this is a great segue, because one of the things that I know for many years, I was like, you know, come on, Just, you can do this. You can, come on, I've done this. You can do this. And it wasn't until we really dove into human design and understanding that Justin was a projector, so now we're going to move on to projectors, how differently our energy works. Like we really are two ends of the energetic spectrum. So being super aware as an MG to have boundaries and to be clear and to inform. So that's one of the things I've had to transition out of. A, number one, I now realize that just doesn't have the energy that I have. And B, I just need to redefine my boundaries. And, you know, it's worked really well. It's really improved our relationship, hasn't it?
Definitely has.
Yeah, just put him on the spot. Hasn't it? Knowing the energy types really made a massive difference between us.
Yeah, it's definitely made a difference in terms of how we interact and know how each other's energy is working off each other, and therefore how better to communicate and react, or lack of reaction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the other thing that's been massive is, of course, because in my world, when I framed my family, I thought everyone was like me. But the truth is the kids are like me, but Justin's not. So one of the huge changes that's sort of happened in our life, and I'm not sure you're even aware of this, but ever since I've been aware of this with the kids, I'm very conscious to pay attention when it's too much for Justin, because he just doesn't have the energy. He's tapped into our energy, and it's literally like bouncing him around like a beach ball. But it gets to a point where that he just gets tapped out. And because he has these three massive auras, like literally just dominating space, I'm very aware that if I see him get to that point, I'm like, oh, are you going to go for a ride on the motorbike, or I'll take the kids, or something like that.
Which is massively helpful, because I do notice that it can all be too much when they're all bouncing around and talking at the same time. And it can be overwhelming, and I feel the energy, and it's overwhelming, and I'm out. That's it. I'm walking away, not from a escapism type attitude, but more it's just overwhelm. I can't compute.
Yeah, and that's a really, really good way of putting it. Can't compute, because you think about it, and both our kids have got more definition than me even, so they have loads of definition. Justin only has a definition in two centers. Why is that important? Well, the other seven centers are taking in all of our energy, amplifying it and reflecting it back. So you can imagine what it's like in his aura sometimes, and just being around all of that. So projectors, let's talk about you. One of the, I reckon, actually, as I get to every type, I think I've set the most people free in this type, but I think it's every type. I literally had a client last week, a new client, and as I was introducing her to that being an MG, she's just burst into tears because she thought there was something wrong with her all of her life. And she's like, oh my God, I'm normal. I'm like, more than normal, you've actually been living your aligned self. So projectors, what do you need to know? So much. Oh, projectors, you are our wise souls. I saw once under a list of famous projectors, Yoda. And of course, like, I'm pretty confident that Yoda wouldn't have a chart. However, I mean, I suppose he possibly could the moment he was birthed into the world, but who would actually know that? Anywho, but it is that sort of archetype. So the projectors, what do you need to know? So first and foremost, projectors are our new evolving type of leader. They're the guide. Projectors see the world with more detail and clarity than the other types. They see, people use the word intuition, but in human design, we talk about our splenic definition is intuition. So they have a seeing and a knowing that is beyond the other types. What does that mean? Well, they're here to master something very specific, a new way of being, a new way of doing, a new way of experimenting. A really famous projector that I think demonstrates that is Barack Obama. And one of the metaphors I heard once was the way projectors often interact in the world is they're like a bird that sits high on a wire, and they can kind of see what's going on below and see what's going to happen. But every time they try and join in, they're kind of like pushed out. They're different. They don't fit in. And this is one of the things that projectors can have a real hard time with, because in so many cases they are really good at one thing, or they're highly intelligent, or they tend to be the ones that dig right to the bottom of something. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my other profiling tools, we talk about in eDisc this person being a high C. Like, it's the person that's in the business that if they left tomorrow, basically you'd be screwed. So it's often the projectors are that type of person, that they're very, very detailed in their knowledge, Now, projectors are on the planet to embrace their thing, whatever that is. Each one of you guys has something very specific. And when we look at your chart, one of the things I love about looking at charts for me, my mentor taught me to ask, you know, why would I be designed this way? So often when I'm looking at a chart, I will tell the, like, it tells a story to me. So depending on where you have definition, what gates, what channels, where your asteroids are sitting, it really gives me a lot of knowledge. And as a projector, it really helps you to understand where to focus your curiosity. Projectors are the ones that, you know, if you want to know what your thing is, what is the thing you love to Google the most? What is the thing that you love to research the most? These are the people who need to invest in their education and getting to the bottom of things. Projectors are here to create hacks, to improve on something that's already there. Now, the big caveat, though, for the projectors is that they are not energetically designed for our current world. What do I mean by that? Well, so many projectors find themselves in physical rundown, burnout, autoimmune disorders, all sorts of things, because they're actually only designed to do 3 hours, and I'm doing my inverted commas again, work a day. They're not designed to sit at a desk or throw themselves at something like generators and manifestors and MGs can invest, and they can invest a lot of energy. MGs and generators over a long period of time all the time, and with manifestors, it's this big burst of fiery energy and that they can commit to, and then they get out to rest and go back. Whereas projectors, it's only about 3 hours a day. And their aura is very different to the others because it actually hooks onto other auras. So they get their life force energy from other people. So you can imagine it's like getting blood from somebody else, right? You know, it's great, it's vital, it's giving you what you need, but it's also bringing everything from that person into you. And so many projectors have very little definition in their charts. I think the huge generalization siren just went off. A lot of projectors have a lot of openness. And what that means is that you take in so much of everybody else, you amplify it, you reflect it back, and that's exhausting for you, okay? So what do you do about it as a projector? Well, you make sure you have time alone, time out. One of the things I've heard discussed a lot in the past is, you know, take time out to either sleep on your own a couple of nights a week, or make sure that you have something that's yours, that you go away from everybody else's aura. Get out in nature. You know, like Justin has his motorbike. He likes to just go off on his motorbike. And to be honest, one of the cool things that used to work super well when Just was traveling a lot with work is it would always give him time to have time alone and sleep alone. Because you think about it, like I have all this energy and it's still there when I'm sleeping, and he still has all that openness when he's sleeping. So it's important that A, I empty out, I'm sleeping well, because it's affecting him. Make sense? So the next thing I want you guys to really understand about being a projector, and in the whole human design world, we talk a lot about this because it really is confronting for people to hear. Being a projector, you have to wait for an invitation. That's how you actually respond to life. Now, a lot of people will initially say, oh my God, are you kidding me? What does that mean? I just sit around on the couch. Well, as much as I don't want to give the wrong impression, with projectors, it's almost a yes. With projectors, your job is to invest in that thing that you obsess about. What is it that you want to obsess about right now? Go do it. Go learn about it. Indulge in it. Enjoy it. Love it. Learn it. And then the opportunities will come, okay? I heard this great story of a projector, online entrepreneur, and she refused to ever hire anyone to do PR. She never did PR herself. she just like, she's, the way she explains it is she's like, oh, I just put it out in the world. I just put it out in the world. And she's like, she's a seven-figure entrepreneur. So as a projector, this is a muscle that's important to build. It is waiting for invitations. What does that mean though? So I used the metaphor in a group coaching class just last week. Imagine you're at a networking event and you're a projector and you have all of this wisdom. You know, this is the thing that often as a kid you feel rejected because you have all of this wisdom, but no one wants to take it because every time you walk up to someone and you try and give it to them, they're like, piss off. You know, I've had a projector say, people actually put their hands up and tell me, stop. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Move away from me. So this is because they don't have an invitation. So imagine you're the projector. You're at networking event. And you're taught to walk up to people, to talk to people, to address people, and to interact, like to be the one who is initiating. As a projector, this is a hard no. Absolutely, categorically no. Be okay with being on your own. Be okay with walking around the room and talking to people as they come to you or not. Because when you're in this space, people will start to come to you. Now, if you join a group, so you might go and stand and talk to them, and as you're standing there, someone will invite you. Oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Invitation. Boom, you're in. One of the things that I love to share with my projector clients is get really clever at asking people questions that initiate an invitation. What do I mean? So ask people things like, they might be talking about their business and you know that you can help them with that, but you want to ask them, so how specifically is that a problem for you? Or what have you specifically done in the past with that? And just ask them questions about themselves, yeah? And just be nodding and nodding and nodding. And you will get to a point where they will actually ask your opinion. They will say something that resonates, or there'll be an opportunity for you to speak to that. And that is your invitation. I'm actually going to throw it over to Just for a minute and just ask, does that resonate?
100%. Often in those networking environments, I'm something of an introvert as well. And so as well as being a projector, I'm comfortable just standing and not talking to anyone. And in the past, where I've tried to offer my opinion and I've had that experience of people not wanting to receive, and now having learnt more and more about human design and understanding my role as a projector, waiting for that invitation hugely helps. And also asking better questions, as you've said, you know, going to people and saying, tell me more about that. How has that helped? And how have you overcome it in the past? And then allowing them to invite you for a question to say, have you come across this? Have you helped with this before? Has hugely helped my experience at these events.
Yeah, awesome. Can you also share one of the things that I know about you, that part of Justin's superpower is that although he works in a very specific tech part, let's say when he was working in sales, one of his superpowers is that just like a projector, he can see how everything works. So although he might be there from a sales point of view, you always get all the different levels, yeah? So can you think of two different examples, like one when you weren't aligned, when you were like, hey, idiots, how can you not see that if you take this action, this is going to happen, where you tried to push it on them, versus another time where you were kind of like, you could see it all there, but you just waited for them to engage you first and then it flowed.
I can give you a couple of examples. So in the past, I was meeting with a customer and I could see that the solution to their problem was obvious to me. That I'd known the company because they're a public company. I'd known the challenges they were having because I was briefed by someone else. And when I met with the person, they mentioned a couple of things that I could tell how this could be resolved, and went straight into solution mode, which is partly a male thing, partly a projector thing. but to go into that mode of selling, of saying, okay, this is how it was going to be fixed. We can put this in place, this, and your problems will be solved. Away you go. And they were very standoffish, not wanting to engage, and nothing moved forward. More recently, however, in speaking with one of my customers up in Brisbane, they had for a long time been waiting on more and more information, and it didn't seem to matter how hard that we tried to engage and give them more and more. When we stepped away and then I waited for them to come back to me and say, we need your help, can you help? What had been over a year in the making suddenly transpired into all of the cogs of the machine and their business, including their CEO being engaged, to move that forward to a decision and an outcome that was beneficial to them and to our business. It was great.
How long did that take? From them inviting you back?
5 weeks.
5 weeks versus over 12 months.
Yeah.
See, guys, that is such a... Thanks so much, babe. That is such a perfect example of the way projectors are aligned and work well. The thing I want you guys to know, it's counterintuitive to everything you're conditioned to do. So it's a muscle you have to build over a period of time.
And can I add to that as well? It's not just you building the muscle, but it's actually having the presence of mind to say to your organization, your the people you're dealing with, and they're pushing you to accelerate that from a business perspective or from a just moving things forward, but you know in your gut that you shouldn't be pushing any harder because it won't actually progress, which is what happened with me. I continued pushing this customer and asking and asking and asking and getting nowhere because the business was so keen on getting that piece of business. And only when I stepped away and then let them sit for a couple of months on their own without any engagement and waited for them to re-engage me, that was when things accelerated. And so it's being able to have that presence of mind to lean on those that are pushing you to say, no, yeah, I need to be invited.
And to stay aligned to that, you know, what you know on the inside that's guiding you. Awesome. Brilliant. I love it. Now, is there anything else that I need to share with you guys about being a projector? I think that's it. You're pretty awesome, guys. You really are here. The one thing I will do, I'll give you some famous people too, but I just want to also just give a quick note because I have so many projectors in my life. There's actually, I think, around 10% of the population. No, it must be a bit more than that. I think it's closer to 14 or something percent projectors globally. So there's not that many of you. And I have loads of them around me, and I also have a close friend who has two projector kids. And if you have a projector child, one of the things that they will probably come up against is rejection, because they will feel like they have so much to contribute, but unless they're invited in, then they can't contribute and they will feel rejected. So I really encourage those of you, if you know your kids' human design, be super aware that you can parent them from a place of teaching them to get really inspired by what they're curious about and to follow that. You know, like think of the chess genius or the sport that they love or they whatever that is that they love, then they will find the people. The people will come to them. Perfect example of this is my 8-year-old. His best friend is a projector. Super sensitive kid, has so much openness, and he feels the world so, so significantly. Yet, by him being himself, my little one actually found him. My manifesting generator found his friend on the first day and just said, can we be friends? So he went to this kid and they've been inseparable since. So it's really important that we're teaching our kids to be aligned to who they are on the inside, because then they will find who they're meant to be with. And we do attract what we're not. So, you know, I see these two together and think they're so powerful because one of them's this great, he's so freaking wise. He's only eight and he's already bloody vegan. He cares that much. He feels the world so significantly. He's not vegan, he's vegetarian, but you know what I mean? He won't eat an animal because of how much he feels. And then he's got my little guy who is this huge amount of energy and he bounces around and And you know, he's fed all these great ideas from his projector friend, yet he's got the energy for the two of them to actually create all of these ideas. So they work really well together. So I just again say, guys, do your kids human design and really support them to lean into it, because then they will find the people they're meant to have around them. Okay, lucky last. I think this is a long podcast. Lucky last is the reflector. Now, reflectors make up less than 1% of the population, and I have done hundreds of human design charts now, and I've only come across one reflector. I've done lots of studying, lots of reading. I know a lot about them in the books. However, I would love to meet more of them. Reflectors are people who have no defined centers, okay? And what that means is they don't have any consistent or reliable way of being in the world. And if you're a reflector, this sentence, be yourself, will be possibly the worst three words anyone could say to you. And why? Because you are who you're with. Reflectors literally just take in all the energy of those around them, amplify it and reflect it back. They're the people who are here to show us where we're at in the world. The reflector that I do know is just magical. It's like, yeah, she's awesome. And from a point of view where she resonates with everyone, it's really hard to explain. But the thing about reflectors is that, you know, if we've got manifestors that can initiate, the generators who have to respond and they have a gut response, which is in the moment. MGs are the same. They have to respond or inform. Projectors have to wait for an invitation. And, you know, let's be honest, that could be frustrating. But can you imagine, for reflectors, they say they have to wait 28 days to make any major decisions, a full moon cycle. Now, I think that's because that will give them every opportunity to feel every way they could possibly feel about something before making a big decision. Now, obviously, making a decision about lunch, this is not going to work. However, if you're a reflector and you're out to lunch with someone, you're just going to want what they want. There's a girl that I went to school with, and I am often curious about whether she was a reflector, because we actually used to joke and call her Me Too. Not meanly, just because she was always just happy to do what everyone else wanted to do, or eat what everyone else wanted to eat, or just go along with it. And not from a low self-worth point of view, just she just was. And I often wonder, was that her being a reflector? Because she just, in the moment, it was like she kind of didn't have her own, I don't know what the word is, but from a human design point of view, because she had no definition in the sacral, she really doesn't understand. Well, she didn't really have her own desires, or she didn't have definition in the will center, so she didn't know what she wanted on the material plane, or she didn't have definition in the the solar plexus, which is really connected to the physical body. So there's a lot of reasons potentially why she was like that way, but I am curious. With a reflector, you really are the person who is reflecting back to the rest of the world where we are at as a society. One of the cool things about those magical projectors is that they can see in you what you can't see. They literally mirror back to you. They take in your energy, they amplify it, and they reflect it back to you. So a reflector is like an empath on steroids, because they can potentially know you better than you know you, if that makes sense. So those of them that are aligned and aren't feeling burnt out and misunderstood and, you know, lost direction, those that are aligned, that are aligned because they know that they are whoever they're with or they are wherever they are, they are the ones that can really have a massive impact. They can reflect back to the world where it's at right now, and what needs to be done about it. So if you are a reflector, you must really be conscious of the time that you get to spend on your own emptying out. Also understand that you are here to know what's right for you as you move through your environment. If something feels good, great. If it doesn't, don't go with it. But the best way to really understand is by having that space for yourself. Okay, so if you guys are curious and you want to know more because you've never heard of human design, or you've heard about human design and you really want to use this to maximize your potential, by all means, please do reach out, because my coaching, it's, yes, I do charts. However, there are plenty of people out there that do your human design chart. You can get your free human design chart from mybodygraph.com, and that will be in the notes. And more so though, from my point of view, I use human design to get people aligned, because when we're aligned, we create our fullest potential. That's the only place we can create our fullest potential from. And let's be honest, I don't know about you, but that is my highest desire on the planet of this lifetime, is to reach my fullest potential and live it as many possible days as I can. Oh, you know what I did forget? I've just remembered to read out some of the famous human design types. So, for the manifesting generators, Mother Teresa, which I've got to be honest, I've loved all my life. I often wonder if that's an alignment thing in me because I'm an MG. Who knows? Martin Luther King, feel the same way about him. Sigmund Freud, Angelina Jolie, and Beyonce. Pretty freaking awesome people. The famous projectors, Barack Obama, Nelson Mandela, Mick Jagger, Woody Allen, Brad Pitt, Princess Diana. And you can actually see the theme, right? You can see the theme that with the MGs, like, these are all people that you're drawn to, right? Whereas the projectors, it's not so much a charisma thing, it's more a brilliance thing, right? So Barack Obama, I don't know about you, but I'm drawn to him because I think he's the most incredible leader, like centered, grounded, knows himself better than anything, which again isn't actually a projector trait. That's one thing you projectors can trip up on. You're all well and good at looking at the rest of us and seeing how we can all do better or improve, or the systems. However, looking at yourselves can be a massive challenge. Even Woody Allen, right? So Woody Allen is so successful and does so well in his thing, in what he's found is his real improvement for the world, right? However, he's still quite polarizing. Like, if you haven't invited him in, like, if you don't like Woody Allen, you really don't like Woody Allen. Just a great example there. So famous reflectors, and I think this is so powerful. So Sandra Bullock is a reflector, and Michael Jackson. I think this in itself is profound, that Michael Jackson had so many issues, you know, and he was so mismanaged, misguided, pushed from one pillar to the next. And as a reflector, what he was doing the whole time was constantly looking to answer that question, who am I? But really, that could never be answered, because he was whoever was guiding him at the time. So no wonder he didn't, you know, yes, he got to live his full musical potential. However, he never really touched base with who he was on the inside, because he was way too influenced by those around him that, you know, led him down some pretty, pretty challenging parts. All right, that's a massive episode. I trust it's going to be super valuable, and I look forward to hearing you guys on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.